All right. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us. It's just 5 o'clock here, Pacific time, on May 18th, the third Thursday of the merry, merry month of May. So it's great to see you all. Thanks for joining us. And I'll go ahead and get started here. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is our World Peace Diet Circle Call, which is once a month for everyone who's gone through our training or people who are going through. So it's kind of a special opportunity just for us to be together. And if you have any concerns or thoughts or questions or joys or victories or tragedies, whatever, we're happy to address those. And it's a beautiful, it's beautiful weather. I was just looking at where Tammy Hay is joining us from the far north up in Canada in Alberta. And I was thinking, gosh, it looks like it's summertime has come up even up there. So good. Good to see. So we'll go ahead and get started. I think there'll be hopefully some more people joining us. They usually are. But I like to start promptly. So no, it's okay. You're good, Kathy. Yeah. So let's go ahead and do our meditation. I guess we can do that in the beginning here. It's so nice that we're back home and we're at the piano and looking out over the lake, which is kind of always refreshing. And Madeline is here also. So let's go ahead and start our meditation time, and then we can go into our regular gathering after the meditation. So we can begin. Become aware of our breathing. Breathing together. With every inhalation, connecting with the light infinite and eternal consciousness. Breathing it in. And with every exhalation, we let go into this beautiful moment. Entire life has brought us to this moment. Countless lifetimes have brought us to this moment. Give thanks that we are able to breathe together, opening our minds and hearts to the truth that we are, what we are, is a manifestation of the infinite love that is the source of all life. The life that flows through us is spiritual life, the life power that can bring healing to any situation, joy and abundance to every situation. We open our hearts now to the inner wisdom that is always shining at the very core of our being, the wisdom that guides us in our life, the wisdom that guides us to question the official narratives, promote suffering to animals and to the earth and to ourselves and each other. And we open to the inner wisdom of our true nature and the true nature of all beings. Give thanks that one life shines through all of us. We give thanks for the opportunity that we have to join with others. To make common cause together. Work together to bring healing to our world and to raise awareness. To bring healing and light to the dark, wounded places. Not only within our own consciousness, but within the infinite realm of being, the infinite web of relations. We give thanks knowing that we have a unique ministry and mission and purpose. Fulfilling in this lifetime, that we are working together with others, supporting them in their unfoldment also. We give thanks for the beautiful manifestations of life on this earth. Not only all the beautiful human beings, the children, the little babies, the adults and the elders, all the animals, the beautiful birds, all the marine animals, all the land animals. Amazing abilities, intelligences. Their teaching presence. We give thanks for all of our brothers and sisters working for the liberation, for the awakening, and for the healing. Humanity, the liberation of animals, the key, not only to their freedom, but to our own. And so we join together now to bless and bring our blessings to the infinite web of relations. All living beings in the infinite web of life here, allowing our heart now to just get brighter and warmer to fill with the light of loving kindness and benevolence and goodwill. And with every exhalation, we radiate this love in all directions, to all living beings, in all dimensions, breathing and radiating love to all beings equally, knowing that we are infinitely interconnected with all expressions of life. Breathing and radiating love, abiding in the true home of loving kindness. With every inhalation, now we engender in our heart the great compassion, the yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others. And with every exhalation, we radiate compassion into the world, breathing and radiating compassion, the highest form of love. As Jesus said, giving our lives and our energy for the benefit of our friends, for the benefit of all beings, abiding in our true home of compassion, abiding in our true home of joy. With every exhalation, exhaling and radiating joy, the great joy that needs no reasons, the joy of our true nature, the joy that's like a bubbling spring in the core of our being. With every exhalation, allowing this joy to overflow from our heart, bringing joy to consciousness of all living beings. Breathing and radiating joy, abiding in our true home of joy. Abiding in peace. Exhalation, now we radiate peace and harmony, equanimity and serenity in all directions, filling the whole earth from the infinite interconnection that we share with other humans, with all living beings, with peace. We know that beyond the outer appearances, peace is always established. Harmony. At the deepest level, is radiating out into the world. May all beings be happy and at peace. May all beings be free. Abiding in our true home always and radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. For the benefit of all beings. Thank you. give thanks. Okay, so thank you everyone for joining together in our meditation. It's always a balm for our spirits to come together and remember the deeper truths and why we're incarnated now. I think it's so good because we're bombarded in many ways with messages from our society that are designed, I think in many ways, to have us forget. You know, just to kind of lose track of our purpose and try to survive and to make our way in the world as objects competing for for limited resources and things. So it's good to remember and to affirm that we're here to shine compassion and kindness, caring out into the web of relations, and that as we do that, we find that it helps raise the vibratory level and really helps everyone. The old saying is when the tide rises, all the ships go up, you know, so we can contribute to the rising of the tide and that helps, helps everyone. So I appreciate that. So here we are. It's now, we're at the place where we've gotten the meditation through. So we're, able to address any questions or comments or concerns anyone may have. As usual, there's been a lot happening over the last month, and so I have plenty of things to share, but I always like to see if there's anybody that would like, has a comment or a question you'd like to have us look at or think about or whatever, because that's the whole point here. This is an opportunity to just be with each other. So if you do, just go ahead and unmute yourself. Press, I think it's *6 to unmute, or raise your hand. If you go to the bottom, there's a place that says reactions if you're on your screen, and you can click on that, and then you can raise your hand there, I believe. Yeah. All right. So if nobody does anything, that's good. I have plenty of other things I want to talk about. We're going to be leaving. I just want everybody to know, actually, we're going to be leaving in a few days on a little mini tour, so it's kind of exciting. We came back and did our big tour, which was to Florida for 4.5 months, but we're going to be leaving in a few days on Tuesday, actually, morning, and we'll be doing our first lecture Tuesday night in Fresno, California. Fresno, a lecture promoting veganism, the World Peace Diet. Version of veganism and spirituality at the Unitarian Church in Fresno. So if you know anybody in that area. And then the next day, Wednesday, we'll be in Palm Springs, or the Palm Springs area. I think the name of the town, there's a bunch of little towns there. There's Palm Springs, Desert Hot Springs, Rancho Mirage. I think it's called Rancho Mirage. There's a Unitarian Church there. Thursday night, excuse me, Wednesday night. And then Thursday night, we'll be in Phoenix, and at the wonderful restaurant they have there called The Giving Tree. If you've ever been to Sedona, Arizona, There's a great restaurant there called the Chocolat Tree or Chocolate Tree. And this is the same people. It's David Warr now, and his he opened up a restaurant in Phoenix called the Giving Tree. So we'll be there Thursday night. Friday we'll be at a dress rehearsal for the launch of Supreme Master Ching Hai's new book promoting veganism, which is called Love is the Only Solution. And so we'll be at a dress rehearsal for that, for not only giving a talk and being on a panel with other experts, but also Madeline and I are going to be playing music together. She's going to be playing the flute. They're actually renting a grand piano just for me and Madeline. We're going to play a piece together called Geese Gliding Beyond. And then inspired by the geese here where we live in Hidden Valley Lake. And then I'm going to be playing a piece called Dance for the Arctic Moon on this great grand piano they got. So that'll be kind of fun. And then, so that's Friday. And then Saturday's the actual event. So it's kind of a big deal. They rented out this place. It's the Phoenix Mesa Convention Center or some kind of thing. It's a pretty big deal. They're expecting not that many people live, maybe several hundred people live, but they're expecting 4 or 5 million people to join, I think, on Zoom, mainly in Asia. It's primarily in Asian. Her movement is mainly in Taiwan, Vietnam, Korea. So I'll be there with Madeline, Silesh Rao, Jane Velez Mitchell, Keegan Kuhn, a few other people, I can't forget. That'll be fun. That'll be on Saturday. And then Sunday we'll be at the Unity Church in Mesa, giving the talk on Sunday morning, and then doing a workshop on developing intuition Sunday afternoon, and then going to Visalia. If anybody knows anybody in Visalia, California, we'll be doing a workshop there on developing spiritual intuition at the Center for Spiritual Living in Visalia. And then on Wednesday, is that right? Yeah, Wednesday, at the Vegetarian House in San Jose, California. So that's a great restaurant. It's vegan, organic. We've done things there. In fact, that was the last event we were supposed to do in 2020, and we had to cancel it because of COVID. We said, don't cancel it. We'll speak anyway. And they go, oh, no, we're going to cancel. I mean, you know, San Jose was like the first place to shut down. So it was in March of 2020, so that got canceled, so now we're finally making it up, getting back there again. It's one of our favorite places. They have a grand piano in the restaurant, which is great. So we'll be there on Wednesday. So again, if you know anyone in any of these areas, let us know. And then otherwise, we'll be around here. We're doing events every month at Harbin Hot Springs, which is our local hot spring resort right here where we live. Beautiful place. We were just there yesterday. It was Tuesday. Was it yesterday? Yeah. No, day before yesterday. Tuesday. We do it on the second Tuesday of every month. And, yeah, it's a really beautiful place. Hot water comes right out of the ground. Cold water comes out of the ground. And, it's a long time, respected, consciousness center that burned down in 2015 in the big fire. And then, we stopped doing it, and then COVID hit, and all these things. So now we're starting up again. They had to rebuild the whole place. So it's quite an incredible journey there for those people. We've been doing events there for 30 years, actually. So it's one of our favorites. Even when I lived back in Oakland, I used to come up and do things. So it's a great place. So if anyone has any questions or anything about any of that or comments, let me know. But that's what's up for us in the next few days, actually. We'll be doing that. And then in between all those things, I'm busy working on the new book, Food for Freedom. The subtitle is, I haven't decided exactly, but it's Conscious Living and the Golden Rule, or something like that, I'm thinking. I really feel the Golden Rule is such gold. And it's in all the world religions, and if we would just follow that in regard to our treatment of animals and each other, we could have a paradise here, you know, really. I mean, just don't do to others what you wouldn't have done to yourself. It's so straightforward. And we have a hard time with that. So I'm just always working on that and refining it. And And there's an old saying, which is, the perfect is the enemy of the good, or something like that. And so I have to be careful. I don't try to make it perfect and never get it done. But it does need a little more work, but it should be finished up in the next, within a month or so, the editing, and we'll get it to the publisher. It's being published by Vegan Publishers, who published also the Circles of Compassion book and also the Buddhism and Veganism book, you know, based in Boston. And it's a great, we love them. They're great, great people. So we'll let you know when that's ready. And yeah, let me know if you want a preview. I could probably send you a PDF or something if you want to have a look and make any comments or something. But it's really, we're really close to having it finished. So, and I just heard from Kip and Keegan, you know, Kip Anderson, his new film, Christspiracy, which we showed in West Palm Beach, which is really great. I mean, I think this movie is going to have a big impact. So he would like us to help them to have some screenings around the Atlanta, Georgia area. I don't know if any of you are in the Atlanta, Georgia, or in Atlanta, Georgia, or Georgia in general, or South Carolina, sort of that southeastern part of the United States. So I'm recommending some. The Unity Church in Marietta is fantastic, I think. So we'll try to set that up for them. And then it should be coming out, I think, in June. They said June originally. So we're looking forward to seeing that get out there, because it really ties together the whole Christianity and compassion for animals and Jesus really as an animal liberationist. It makes a good case. So, all right. So let's see. No questions? I'll see. Okay. Chrissy's got her hand up. So go ahead, Chrissy. If you have, you want to share something, that'd be great.
Thank you. Well, it's a perfect segue since you mentioned, Kip. I was just, you know, as I'm sure you know, so many people in the freedom space these days are questioning, you know, the whole climate change agenda. And, obviously you were part of Cowspiracy. And I just wondered, you know, that's an area where I'm curious what you think, you know, because I certainly question the governmental agenda as well. But I don't think that equates to, like, tossing out all concerns about the planet. And I just wonder where you all are with all of that. And maybe, I don't know if Kip is in the, you know, on our same page in the freedom stuff either. But I just wonder where you all stand on the information in Cowspiracy. Like, do you think that all still holds? And, you know, just how does it, where do you stand on all that? What do you think?
Oh yeah, thanks, Chrissy. I think that's a good, really good question. I think, you know, the overriding concern I've had for quite a few years is that the climate change narrative is very damaging to the overall environmental movement. It's a way to reduce the environmental movement to one issue, and so I was on board with it back in the early days, like when the World Peace Diet first came out, and after that, I mean, Al Gore with his movie An Inconvenient Truth, all those things. I thought, yeah. And then there was the the United Nations coming out, and we were all just trying to get all these people who care about the climate to bring veganism into the equation, you know, because it's so obvious that cutting down forests is terrible for the ecosystems. But what I realized, I started questioning it, because I get more and more suspicious how they never wanted to bring the vegan thing in at all. It was always about fossil fuels. It was always about carbon emissions and carbon dioxide. Like, carbon dioxide is some terrible thing. And so I just started doing alternative research. That's just how I am. I should do it more. But anyway, I just started questioning it. And then I read this book called The Hockey Stick Illusion by a Canadian, I think, or about a Canadian researcher. And it completely flipped the whole table for me. I read this way back in probably 2015 maybe. And I realized at that point that it's a big scam, that they've just lying. They're lying about climate change. That any, there's so many climate scientists who have come out saying there's no such thing as anthropogenic climate change. We don't know that. We do not know that. There's no proof at all. And they're brutally censored. And so I realized this back in 2016 or so, or 17. And the more I researched into it, the more I saw how, and it was the same thing I saw with scientists that were questioning the meat and dairy thing. You know, they had a hard time getting published. The meat and dairy lobby were so strong that I thought a lot of T. Colin Campbell. You know, he tried so hard to try to promote the idea that animal foods are not healthy, but he kept getting his research suppressed. He couldn't get it out. Nobody wanted to hear it. And it was the same thing. There's so many climate scientists the same way. They lose their jobs. They lose their positions. Their research will not get published if they question anthropogenic climate change. So there's clearly an agenda coming from a wealthy, some kind of super powerful somebody somewhere that does not want that anyone to question this. And so as time has gone on, it's become more and more obvious that it's a way to destroy the environmental movement, because now we don't talk about the fact that the rivers are getting polluted and the oceans are dying and the soil is getting eroded. I mean, all these things. No. All we talk about is climate change. All we talk about is how bad carbon dioxide is. I mean, carbon dioxide is only 0.04% of the atmosphere. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny amount in the atmosphere. And it's important. I mean, nothing will grow without carbon dioxide. It's so neat to see, you know, like every tree, you know, these incredibly heavy trees that weigh tons, where do they get all their mass? Where do they get all that weight? They get it from the air, from carbon. It's carbon. The carbon that makes up everything is from carbon dioxide in the air through photosynthesis. So when you increase carbon dioxide in the air, that's a great thing. I mean, that allows things to grow. You have more food available. You know, everybody knows if you want to have a greenhouse, you want to make things grow, you pipe in some carbon dioxide, things really grow great. So the whole idea that carbon dioxide is an enemy is perverse. It's just utterly perverse. And the whole idea that it makes it warmer is perverse. There's no proof for that. I mean, I've really studied this. I've read many books now. I'm not just talking. I mean, I've really researched this. And when they said 97% of the scientists, you know, they have, you know, this like this idea that we have a consensus, right? We have a consensus. I mean, first of all, the idea of a consensus in science is that if there was ever a joke, that has to be it. I mean, a consensus? I mean, the truth doesn't matter when people are voting on, right? They could all be wrong. It's such an absurd idea that we have a consensus about something. I mean, anyway, but then a consensus can be easily fabricated. When you control the media, when you control education, when you control everything, I mean, it's easy to fabricate a consensus. Anyway, and that's what happens. So there's some good articles that go into that whole fabrication of the 97%, and it was really, when you look at it accurately, it was less than 1% of scientists said that there is such a thing as anthropogenic global warming. And that, and Al Gore, in his thing, you know, his whole big scary thing where he said that, you know, we're going to, with Inconvenient Truth, he said, he listed 10 things that are going to happen. You know, that the sea, you know, coastal cities will be underwater by 2015. The ice caps will be gone by 2017. He had all these things. Glacier National Park will be gone by 2016. You know, in 10 years, none of his things have come true. None of them. And yet they won't let go. They just say, okay, it's not global warming, it's climate change. right? So, I mean, how can people be so gullible to go to believe this stuff? Because what they're doing is now they're talking about 15-minute cities, taking away our right to travel. I mean, taking away our right to go anywhere. We can't go anywhere. You can't have anything. So it's really, if you want to, if what we do to animals, we want to exploit them, the main way you exploit a being is you take away their ability to move anywhere. That's called a prison. You take away their ability to go anywhere. That's slavery. And so that's what they're doing. They're enslaving humanity, and they're getting us to go along with it. Say, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, we won't go anywhere. We'll just stay right here. We won't allow ourselves.
So we're just
going to be our own jailers and getting people to think that we have this terrible disaster. Well, we don't have any terrible disaster. That's not a problem. I believed it. I really believed it back in 2010. You know, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know. So I was wrong, you know, but
I'm with you on, you know, on the symptoms, on the control and the 15-minute cities and the limitations on free. Like I'm with you on all of that. But, you know, I guess what lit a fire for me was I was living in New York during Superstorm Sandy. And, you know, it just like really was a reality check for me in terms of how vulnerable, you know, we are in cities and how dependent we are on things
right.
like electricity and, you know, just that's all it took was, you know, just that one storm to bring us to our knees. So that's when I started looking into climate change and the two big concerns for me, seemed to be sea level rise and water availability. And so that's what that's part of what brought me to Nashville because it seemed, you know, I read a book, that was, you know, alarmist book about climate change that I found really convincing called Climate Change and the Coming Flight for Survival. And it was like, it was very convincing. But so do you think that information in Cowspiracy is inaccurate? Do you think sea level rise really isn't happening? Like what is real and what isn't? Because again, I find it hard to believe that the environment is fine and we don't need to worry about anything.
Yeah, there's no sea level rise. I mean, it hasn't happened. There's none. There's been zero. I mean, it's been like literally no sea level rise.
Really?
None.
Real?
Yeah.
In St. Augustine, where my parents are living, the beaches are definitely eroding. You know, they're losing.
There's storms. I just read an article on this. The scientists are monitoring sea level. It has risen, but not more than, I mean, like, you know, hundredths of a millimeter. I mean, it's just nothing. I mean, nothing to have any concern about. What there is happening, which people should be aware of, is weather warfare, right? I mean, you know that. I mean, back in 1964, Lyndon Johnson, as the president said, he who controls the weather will control the world. This is the main thing we're doing. Our military is on top of it. We're going to control the weather. And they are. They're spending millions of dollars. Do you see chemtrails in the sky? What do you think that is? Those are metals that are spread out, strontium, aluminum, and barium, that are used in conjunction with ionospheric heaters. They've got ionospheric heaters on ships. They've set them up all over the place, and they blast millions of volts of electricity up into the ionosphere, and with the chemtrails, with that web of metallic material, they can just move. They can move cold fronts and warm fronts around. They can create droughts. They can create hurricanes. They can create floods. And that's what they're doing. I mean, they're creating these things all the time. So, and then they say, it's global warming. It's global climate change. So everybody, you better give us your freedom. Give everything up. It's so obvious. I mean, this never happened before. They're using, their power to control the weather. If you just go to, you know, get in touch with the website geoengineeringwatch.org with Dane Wigington. He's got a report every single week. It's really, I mean, you know, he's been talking about this for over 10 years. Probably 20 years he's been talking about it. But he's finally starting to get recognized because he's actually paid for a plane to go up behind these planes that are spraying. They're usually military planes, and actually test what is actually coming out. And it is. It's these metals. And it's a lot of research. I mean, there's videos on it. You can really research it. But there's climate happening. So, yeah, I mean, when Kip made that movie way back, that's an old movie now. I mean, Cowspiracy. That was in the middle. That's when everybody believed in climate change and how animal agriculture contributes to your carbon footprint. You know, and people still buy that. I mean, right today, I still get emails from people saying, oh, you want to reduce your carbon footprint. And I just kind of shake my head and go, when are people going to wake up out of this dream of carbon footprint mattering at all? It doesn't matter at all. What matters
is... even apart from that language and like, okay, say, you know, that to me, part of that is semantics. Like that's fine. Maybe there's no such thing as like, you know, global warming and the carbon stuff and all of that. But like, it still seems to me that animal agriculture is very detrimental to the environment.
Oh, totally. I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah, so I mean, like
that's
the
whole thing.
That's the worst thing we're doing. Parsing out among the, you know, like, I feel like especially in the freedom worlds, it's like, okay, global warming isn't real. And so therefore everything that people are concerned about regarding the environment isn't truly a concern.
Right.
And I'm just like,
Well, that's the problem, you know, because the vegan movement, it's tempting, you know. It's like we say, oh, if you go vegan, you'll reduce climate change. That's actually destroying our movement, because most people are waking up and they're going, you vegans, you're still buying into Bill Gates's and Klaus Schwab's ridiculous globalist version of slavery to try to get everybody to go vegan. It's getting massive. There's so many articles now coming out hating vegans, anti-vegans, of people who should be our allies, people who care about the earth, who care about freedom, who care about their health, and they hate vegans because vegans are using, it's not ethical to use lies to promote something good. Right? I mean, if you have something good, you should use truth to promote it. So we shouldn't use
lies
to promote something good.
That's...
And that's what people are doing. Vegans are doing it. A lot of vegans are doing it. That's why I'm writing this book.
I mean, there's some truth in it. Like you will help the environment if you eat vegan.
The environment is not climate change.
Right.
Climate change, climate's always been changing.
Semantics.
It's going
to
keep changing. It's never going to stop changing. We don't know if we have any control over the climate. How do we know? I mean, climate scientists don't know. We don't know. That's the problem. Climate is this totally esoteric thing that no one knows. It's totally esoteric. I mean, the water vapor in the atmosphere has much more of an impact on temperature than carbon dioxide does. The heat of the sun, it goes through cycles all the time. Sometimes there's more heat coming from the sun than other times. There's thousands of factors that go into climate change that have nothing to do with human beings. So here we are, we're giving away all the power that we have to help people. If they care about the environment, we should talk about the fact of dead zones in the ocean from all the nutrient-rich runoff from all these cattle operations and chicken operations and all of the nitrogen-based fertilizers to grow all the crops to feed all these animals, and how all that nutrient-rich runoff is causing red tides and destroying the oceans, and how we're cutting down rainforests at 4 acres per second, causing massive extinction of species to grow soybeans to feed to imprison cows and pigs and chickens, and how we're sucking all the aquifers dry in order to irrigate all these crops for these animals, and all the pollution that animal agriculture causes that's polluting the waterways. That's what we should be talking about. We should never talk about climate change because that's a complete... Nobody knows. I mean, it's
absolutely... And that's funny, but I feel like it gets so confusing because everybody, says, okay, climate change isn't real. And then the next thing is, so we don't have to worry about, oil drilling. We don't have to worry about fracking. We can just do anything and let corporations.
That's what the globalists want. Yeah, exactly. That's what the globalists, that's your agenda. To have us not care about the environment.
But right? I feel like that's what's happening in the freedom space. Like there's just no.
Right.
I feel like I don't care. Again, to me, the climate change, global warming language, like, that's kind of semantics. I want to know what there is to be concerned about with the environment, and it still seems like there's a lot to be concerned about, and so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe there's, like, time for an updated Cowspiracy, like, maybe not focusing on carbon footprint.
Right. Well, that's interesting, because actually Nelson Campbell, T. Colin Campbell's son, it's interesting. I got an email from him. I have to answer him because I had a conversation with him back in 2018 about this.
Huh.
And he sent me an email recently and he said, well, I just want you to know I'm working on a new, documentary film on animal agriculture and the environment. And because of the conversation I had with you, I am really questioning the global climate change. I'm not going to emphasize that. I'm going to emphasize the other things. So that's good. Good for him, and I'm glad I talked to him about it, because he's the kind of person, he knows what his father went through, how these scientists, if they don't agree with the official narrative, they just get censored. And any, I think he's sensitive to that, but I should follow up with him. But I think, people will make, like in my book is another example, it's coming out, it's going to go into all of this. It's basically what happens to every movement. Every movement for liberation, for peace, for healing, always gets co-opted, right? The main way they co-opted the environmental movement was they created the EPA, which everybody's, oh, now we got the EPA. Okay, good. Now we don't have to worry. And then they just took over the EPA. The EPA doesn't protect anything, and people have this illusion that it does. And then they brought in climate change. Al Gore, the great rancher, meat eater, brought him on. That just destroyed the environmental movement. They destroy everything. They destroy all the movements. The peace movement, they infiltrate and destroy them. They're doing the same thing with the vegan movement, with all of this stuff. So we have to, be aware of that.
See,
go along with it.
Will, Dobby,
this is
Anne.
Anne, hi.
Hi. And Dobby from England is tuned in, and she's connected by an iPhone because she couldn't get Zoom to work, and she wanted to say something.
Okay.
So how could that happen? Like, I'm just not sure how it works when somebody's connected by a phone.
Well, if she's connected by phone, she should be able to talk. I mean, we've got a lot of people on here right now that are connected by phone. Right now. I mean, look, there's people calling
Hello?
In.
Hello?
Connected by phone. Oh,
okay.
Press star 6. Press star 6. Okay.
I did. Can you hear me?
Now we hear you. Yes. Yeah, hear you. Yeah.
Oh, well, you couldn't hear me before. I tried before, but it wasn't working. So I said, this is frustrating.
It's working now.
Hi.
Whatever you did something.
Okay. I think I hit star 6 more than once. I don't know what I did.
If you hit it a second time, it'll mute you again. So, it toggles back and forth. So you got to be careful. Don't keep hitting it.
It wasn't telling me it was unmuted or muted. I think it was just being silly. I don't know. My connection is really dodgy and Zoom isn't working.
Okay.
So I'm like, this is frustrating because normally I'll type into the chat. Because, I have a lot to say. But you're touching on something I was actually just writing an article about this. I think I mentioned I'm launching a new site. I'm rebranding everything. And it all kind of ties in with what's just being said in here. And I just wanted to address that if I could have a moment to do so, please.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So, I totally, I'm on board with the whole, we shouldn't be promoting this stuff as vegans and this and that. But that's why I'm kind of, the mainstream movement has been co-opted. And I'm frustrated with it. So I'm rebranding my whole thing. I mean, the 5th was meant to be my 33rd vegan anniversary. I mean, I've been vegan for that long and now
right.
I don't even want to be associated with the movement anymore because it's turned into a commercial thing. The problem isn't CO2 and climate change. I mean, what they're trying to do, and this was what I was writing about, I lost the whole article, so I have to start all over again. So I thought, well, this is a blessing because I've already just written this. But the issue is not, it's not a man-made thing. They're saying, oh, climate change is human-driven. Actually, it's corporate-driven. So the issue that we have are these governments and these corporate bedfellows of the governments, Monsanto. You know, you want to talk about Bill Gates, not just Bill Gates. I mean, he's a huge investor in Monsanto. It's these big corporations, it's BlackRock. It's all of this consumer nonsense that people seem to be buying and buying into, including a lot of these so-called foods that they're pushing toward, you know, the new mainstream vegan movement, which I wouldn't consider to be vegan at this point because it's not ahimsa-centric. So the whole point of the movement has been nullified by all of this corporatism. So, you know, you want to talk about what's causing issues. Yes, factory farming, industrial farming of vegetables as well at this point, because what they're doing with non-organic things and not doing things in a sustainable way has created such a huge problem that, you know, they're now just blaming people. It's not people. It's companies. It's governments.
Right. Thanks, Davi. And thanks for, you know, I know where you are, it's probably like 1 a.m. So I appreciate your dedication and saying that. And I agree. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's obviously you're right. It's corporations who have captured governments and, like you say, BlackRock, you know, gigantic asset holding companies that have trillions of dollars.
And the World Economic Forum.
Right,
and the
right.
World
they're
Bank.
All, yeah, right. Yeah, these are, yeah, the Bank of International Settlements behind the scenes. And so when you understand that, you can kind of see, you know, what's going on. But I do think, even though we are being deceived by the, you know, we're being deliberately deceived about these things, And that's what happens. Like people say, well, I read that 97% of scientists all agree that there is such a thing as anthropogenic climate change. And then I have to say, well, you were just deceived. You know, that's not what happened. And so
right.
People, you know, are deceived. But then I feel, as I think about this more, is, well, look, it takes two, right? I mean, like Machiavelli said the same thing. He said, as long as there are people who want to deceive, there are people who are willing to be deceived. And that's the thing.
Right.
I'm starting to get like much more on, a little bit on my high horse here about this because I think, all right, look, I mean, if someone tells you a lie, you ought to be smart enough to figure out it's a lie. We shouldn't be so gullible. I mean, people are so ridiculously gullible that they believe, and that's
really
the problem.
I think people really feel like they need, like they want to be led right now, though.
Yeah, but
I mean,
so
especially,
that's
what
not
the,
okay, right? I mean, it's not okay.
Well, no, it isn't. It isn't okay at all, but I think that was the purpose of the whole, like, so-called pandemic. It was to alarm people into a position of submission,
right.
Really.
Yeah,
so they wanted everyone to submit, like, do all these things, and now
right.
Do this, too. So they've got people where they want them, and now they're just pushing further.
Right, but we have to not go along with it, right? I mean, we shouldn't just say,
well,
oh,
no,
they're stronger. I mean, a few people, you know, 20 or 30 people have more power than 8 billion, and so they're pushing us around, and we can't do anything about it. I mean, we should.
Well,
really,
I think they're just louder and they have more money. But I think the mass noncompliance is the only answer. But you know, I've basically coined the phrase veganarchy. So it's like, right? Well, I don't fit in with the movement anymore. But I'm also like not going to be quiet. So
right.
I'm not complying with any of it. So if we don't comply, if we do things in a more, I don't know, old school way. You know, we do our own gardening, we do our own permaculture, we have our own community, we opt out of all this government idiocy. I mean, I don't comply with any of it anyway. I've never voted. And I'm not going along with this jabbing nonsense. I won't comply with Big Pharma. No one should, none of us should allow this big boot to stomp on our face.
Right, right. Well, thanks. Let us know when your article goes up and send us a link or something. I think We have a hand up with Andy, too. So, Andy, did you want to chime in something?
Hi. First, I'm thrilled for what every one of you is saying. Thank you. Thank you so much. yeah, my issues, so many, everything you've been touching on, is she was just saying non-compliance, and I've been, I probably said this a million times, but I know thousands of so-called freedom people, people that have attended all these rallies, part of CHD, you know, I mean, that is their whole focus, is so-called fighting for freedom, and 99% of them comply. They're all complying, and I'm like, and they're screaming at the representatives, and we've got to be frantic and vote, get them to vote this way on this bill and that bill. And if somebody requires them to wear a mask, they'll wear a mask. And one of them, even who, the main person who's like San Diego, a chapter of CHD, she's got a daughter, and a couple months ago I'm in conversation with them, and she was one of the last people to get her daughter out of the government schools, and she's been battling the shots for years, and she knows about homeschooling. All of the parents, the majority of them, are keeping their kids in the school. They know about homeschooling. They know they can do it. And it's like they get tense or something when I bring up to them, well, there's all this homeschooling. There's tons of options. Anything you do will be better than keeping them in a school that is teaching them this gender insanity, this trying to force a shot on them, trying to wear the mask. There is nothing beneficial. It's only dangerous for your kids to be in the schools. And they can't answer me of why they're doing, I mean, it's just complete insanity. And so this daughter of the CHD person mentioned, this was just 2 months ago. She says, well, I went to LA and I was so grateful that, you know, they didn't ask for a vaccine passport. She went into a restaurant because it was her friend's birthday, and the only thing they required was a mask. So I was just so glad that all I had to do was wear a mask, and I am just ready to rip my hair out because literally 99, I mean, it's so hard for me to find people that don't comply within the freedom community. And, you know, the thing is, if we could get every person just within the freedom community to not comply, we couldn't have gotten this far. We just couldn't have. And because I do the van life, I'm out every day. And they're just about complete with the 15-minute city. And then so there's a lot of people that have run away. They're so-called moving off-grid. And the thing is, everything I experienced in the rental industry, both renting apartments and, you know, homes, or, you know, even buying a home, I have seen the changes I've seen, and even my clients' homes that own their own beautiful homes, beautiful properties, they have no rights on their own properties. Like, to give an example, I believe there's a law, like, within all of, like, Arizona, San Diego, wherever, there's a 2-pet limit on how many pets people can have. Doesn't matter if you own your own property or anything. And everything I've seen from also, you know, studying Rosa Corey and all of this, and like in the apartments, years ago when I started renting, we had a 1-page lease. Now the leases consist of, they're 30 to 60 pages long, all made up of legalese, and they all remove the tenant's rights. And I've seen people that have lived so-called in the country, off-grid, and they have neighbor complaints off-grid what they planned on doing, which is having people rent. And I'm like, why is everyone running away off-grid? We need to stand and fight. We need to stop complying. And how can all these people comply? I'm like, it's only going to get worse. And these people have kids. And I'm just thinking, even when you get old, you know, they've euthanized all these people in the nursing homes and hospitals. Do you think it's going to get better by complaining? Anyway, I'm venting, and I'm, well, you know, yeah, frustrated with the freedom community.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. You mentioned this last month, too, and I think it's...
Did I? Okay, I have to stop. I'm sorry.
But I think, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is, I think it's interesting, he's running for president. It's I think he's very courageous to do that, considering what happened to his father and his uncle.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, he's putting his life right on the line. So I really admire him for his courage. But he says very, very well, he says, never in the history of the world has anyone ever complied their way out of tyranny.
that's the crazy thing. He speaks all of the civil disobedience, and all of these people that love him and are part of his organization and volunteer, they don't do civil disobedience. These are people within CHD. They're all complying. I feel like there was something else I wanted to say. I wanted to know, I don't know if you've listened to Larkin Rose at all. I heard the other person say she's not voting also, but I am like addicted to listening to Larkin Rose now of not supporting the system. And like, I love RFK Jr. I also love Marianne Williamson, and they're both running, but from everything I've learned about what government actually is, I don't want to vote anymore. And if RFK Jr. or Marianne, what?
It's a trap.
Anyway, so I believe it's a trap, yes. If either one of them got elected, if they really tried hard to make a difference, I would be concerned they would get murdered. And, or I think they can accomplish a lot more by not being president. I think there's more freedom of speech for them. Anyway, that's the end. I've gone on enough. Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
I have a video somewhere of RFK Jr. saying that anyone who's not going along with the climate nonsense ought to be jailed. So I need to find that and post that somewhere.
Right, but he's softened up on that. Yeah, he's definitely softened up on that.
Maybe, but I still see that, like, him announcing candidacy is more like, it's like the Ron Paul psyop. I feel like it's just designed to get everybody misaligned and into that trap system. It's just non-compliance is the only way through. That's the only way that I see to get through any of this. Because if we're choosing the lesser of evils here, then what are we doing? We're just running around in circles, chasing our own tails.
Who is that that's talking now? Because I love
it. Davi.
It's Davi.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Let's see. So we got... Yeah, we actually have some more time. Does anyone else? I know Susan Daughtry. I just saw that you, Susan Daughtry. You have a, you had a question about, 50 Minute Cities. It's just, something that's been started in England. I think Oxford University, is the first.
Cambridge.
The city of Oxford is one of the first, and you're not allowed to go farther than 15 minutes from, they divide the city up into sections, and you have to do everything within your section. You know, it's to save fossil fuels, and of course, like this whole idea of getting everybody onto electric vehicles, because electric vehicles are so much better for the environment, which is again another big hoax. I used to think that was true, and then I realized that, I mean, first of all, electricity isn't energy; it's just electricity. You need to generate electricity. And batteries, I mean, this whole idea of if everybody needs batteries, there's no way we can mine enough lithium and copper and nickel. I mean, everything. It's complete, talk about destroying the environment, much worse than with petroleum. It's electric is much worse for the environment. So, there's a terrible problems with, all these things. There's some good videos that show that a lot of the so-called green energy is actually burning wood, burning forest, you know, cutting down forests and burning them. They're doing that.
Yeah, Michael Moore's documentary talks a lot about that.
Right. And the wind levels are killing birds. Yeah, right. So, you know, we have to be so aware not to believe mainstream media. I guess that's the thing. And to question any narrative that's being pushed hard, you can pretty much be guaranteed they're trying to fool us. It's something that's the opposite of what it says, and that's a very important thing. And as vegans, we kind of knew that, right? We have this instinct that, like, if they're promoting meat, dairy, and eggs, we kind of know, no, I'm not going to go there. But then most vegans they don't broaden that out. And I think that's part of really what's a spiritual obligation to make an effort to develop discriminating awareness so that we can see for ourselves anyway what's really going on. And it doesn't mean we're going to be, it means we're going to be even less popular than we were before in many ways. I mean, that's part of the price we pay, because we live in societies that are very tribal still, and we have our vegan tribe, and it's getting difficult for us to talk about some of these issues. But I think, you know, it's good to keep an open mind and open heart and try to listen to different perspectives on these things, and question what's coming from the mainstream media. Obviously, that's the most important thing. And as you started to say something, I think, but no, okay. Susan, you have your hand up.
You know, this is just a minor point about the, you know, minor, I think, about the word vegan. Like, I just heard some YouTube about Dr. Clapper saying, oh, yeah, he agrees that word vegan is not the greatest, and he wishes we could come up with something else because it's not the greatest word, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I know you have a critique of him about some things, Will. So I just, you know, it hurts me, people saying they don't like the word vegan. And along those lines, I just put in the chat about the fact that I get all hung up on the fact that everybody calls children kids. No one uses the word children anymore. They just want to call the children kids all the time, which is baby goats, which I think diminishes children in their right to be children.
Nice.
Young,
yeah.
People.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I think that's an interesting point. Sure. Yeah, children. Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. Thanks. And
on the vegan thing, the important thing, but I mean, let's just put aside the word, because the word is something that with humans can eventually kind of turn into its opposite. Like, words have a tendency to change and be manipulated. So if we just go to the essence of it, what's the essence if we don't use that word? We don't want to do anything that harms
other
beings. Ahimsa, yes. We don't want to do anything that causes harm to other beings. So if somebody asks you, rather than, I'm no longer saying, oh, I'm vegan, because who knows what that conjures up in somebody else's mind. It might be just that, well, I eat in a way that doesn't cause violence to others. I'm mindful of that when I go about my daily life and the clothes I wear and the products I pick. You know, it's not as convenient to not have a single word label, but we could maybe try to communicate that essence of it without relying on the label.
Good. Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, Ann. Thanks. You know, it really requires us to articulate ourselves in a way that maybe has more of an impact than if we just use the word vegan. I think that there's truth to that. Like, if I'm at a party or something and someone says, oh, here, would you like to have some of this cheesecake or whatever? And then if I say, no, thanks. Oh, why not? Oh, I'm a vegan. You know, then, oh, okay. You know, and then that just sort of, but if I say, well, because I'd rather not directly contribute or even indirectly contribute to the enslavement and suffering of other living beings, then it kind of shines some light on what's actually going on and why I'm doing it. Because I think if we put that label on, it's a quick way to sort of escape from a meaningful conversation that could help. And the problem is, I think, you know, I think I love the word vegan in the sense that it, you know, it's an important word in this, to just have it as living a life to minimize the abuse of other living beings. You know, that, I think that's an important thing. But then in actual daily life, I'm more and more, I feel that people judge it a lot, and they judge veganism and they don't like it. And as soon as we start using the word, then they tune it out. They don't want to hear. And so it can be counterproductive. But on the other hand, I don't know what else to do except say I'm an animal liberationist, or I believe in, you know, so I do that sometimes more. When I was in China, they don't have a word for vegan at all. They don't have that word. They're not like a lot of languages like Italian and German and French, a lot of that. They just say vegan or vegano or whatever. They just borrow the word, right? They just take it into their lexicon. But China doesn't do that. The Chinese language, they don't borrow words. And so, they have this kind of long, convoluted phrase that they use, which isn't very good. Pure, I think it's pure vegetarian. They have a word for vegetarian. But anyway, so what they started doing there, because the World Peace Diet was very popular, was they told me anyway that they started just using the word I eat a World Peace Diet. You know, they said that's instead of vegan. They just, no, nobody can argue with that, and that's what they were telling me. So I think it's good to really, really be careful with words, careful with language, and try to use the word vegan judiciously, because it can backfire. You know, unfortunately, people can react to it, especially nowadays. There's so many people that there's a lot of negativity coming out, unfortunately, I think, about vegans, veganism. And so just to be aware of that.
I think it has to do with the corporatization of the word, and it's sort of taken the same root as the word organic, which no longer means organic because that's turned into a branding term as well. So I've kind of
well, it's different things. I think it's also
convoluted phrase.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I think there's also just the idea of a lot of people who are vegans coming across as being angry and judgmental to people who are not vegan. And, you know, there's a lot of that. I think people feel it's not as positive as it was. Or also a lot of vegans going along with official narratives and supporting them. Those kinds of things also. It's good to be aware of that. Yeah.
Well, I've just come to tell people I adhere to a pure vegetarian diet and a philosophy of non-harm toward all living beings. And I realize that's a long, convoluted phrase, but, you know, I really have felt like there's just too much division that's being built up around certain words. I don't even like to use the word organic anymore. And I was using the word veganic. You know, it's all just, you know, maybe we should just do away with language and just, you know, try to, I don't know what to do anymore. Because it's easier to communicate with I don't know, animals actually, you know, because they can sense your energy. I feel like if we figure out how to communicate using our energy and our intention.
We should remember that we communicate with a lot more than just words. You know, our presence is very important, and the way we are. You know, there's a great quote by Emerson. He said, "Who you are is speaking so much louder than the words you're saying." And I think that's a really important lesson for us as vegans, that it's a lot of people want to know, well, how should I, you know, what words should I use and so forth. And I think even more important is just the way we say them when we're with people. And of course, there's less of the actual physical interconnections that we have with people nowadays. We have more typing into social media, typing this, typing that. And I think that's one of the main problems also, is that we're just not meeting physically as much as we used to together, or even like we're doing now. It's nice to be on Zoom. We can perhaps hear the quality of the voice, and we can see, in some cases, we can see each other's faces. But the more, that's why Madeline and I love to really still get out in the car and get on the road and do live events, because when we're actually with people and talking to them directly, then there's a lot more authenticity, I think, and it's less easy to fight with each other. And we've gotten really into being divided and fighting a lot, because we're sort of these disembodied heads just typing something, you know, into a screen, and then we create a lot of ill will that way, unfortunately. And again, I think it's maybe by design, I'm not sure, but it definitely seems to be happening. So I think the more we can we can actually create context where we're living together or talking or meeting together with other people in a live situation. That really helps.
Community is important, but I feel like we should be more inclusive.
I think Tammy has your, Tammy, you have your hand up?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Will, you know, I was originally taught by Dr. Gabriel Cousins and all the places that you're intertwined. And, you know, I've gotten very involved bringing the Million Vegan Grandmothers forward and stuff. And so I see that you have a really amazing way of showing up with your vegan message, but not to be able to work within a certain realm with certain people that are, you know, maybe have a different narrative. It's a really tricky one. I don't know how to ask this question, actually. I feel like I'm very involved in a group that is, you know, the narrative that you are saying isn't true. And Gabriel agrees. And not sure how to keep, you know, moving forward as the grandmother and have my own narrative. It's tricky.
Okay, I heard your question, Tammy, except a little bit of it, it kind of cut out the audio, but I think I understand. So you're working with a group and they're, promoting the climate narrative and you're somewhat questioning it, but you still like being with the group and working with them. And, yeah, I know it's great. I mean, I think, you know, more and more people are questioning the climate narrative. I mean, it's starting to happen. So, it's through questioning that we make progress, right? I mean, progress happens that way. And I'm happy to hear other people's points of view on it too. It's just, the research I've been doing has to me made it clear that it's just counterproductive because it's so abstract. Climate change is something you can't get your hand on. You can see when we're cutting down forests. You can see when we're polluting. We can really see the damage we're doing, animal agriculture is doing. But climate change, I mean, that's like, what the heck is that? And so why would we focus so much on that? That's the thing. But I know a lot of vegans who got into the habit of it because it was just promoted by the mainstream, and we just thought, well, we'll jump on that train. You know, we've got the perfect answer to that, and everybody has to go vegan now. And we'll just make everybody go vegan because it's climate change. And now we're realizing it's sort of like we're riding this train right into our own prison. You know, it's going to make all of us. I'm not going to be able to travel. I'm not going to be able to go anywhere. We're not going to be able to do anything. Let's like halt this dang train. So you know, it's one of those things that it's just going to. It takes us speaking up in our own way, in a loving way, not blaming anyone, just saying what we discovered. I figured this out. I read this article. I watched this interview, you know, it's a polarizing issue, like COVID was a very polarizing issue. It's because it's being rammed down our throats. That's why it's so polarizing. And so everybody has to go along with it because you have to go along. It's the official story. You know, you say, if you don't go along, you're not part of the tribe. You know, so, there's a few of those that are like that. And the population is another one. You know, it's too many people. There's too many people. We gotta stop having children. Too many people. That's another one. And we're supposed to go along with that. That's the official narrative. And again, I think we should question it. You know, how do we know there's too many people? So there's too many people eating meat, right? But dairy. But if we were all vegans, we could feed everybody on a fraction of the land. So I think just to do it in your own unique way, to just bring the message of veganism. That's the main thing. I mean, that's the most important message. But again, we have to be careful if we use lies to promote a truth. In a way, we're lying. It's the ends don't justify the means. The ends never justify the means. You know, Satanism is the ends justifying the means. That's what Satanism is. I mean, it's like I can do what I want to get what I want. And we got to never do that. You know, veganism is about the ends are the means. The means are the end. We can't use lies to promote truth. We can't use cruelty to promote compassion. We've got to really try to live this as best we can, and we can all, I'm sure we can all do better, but I don't think there's an easy answer to your question. It's sort of in the nitty-gritty of communications, and again, just sharing your process. You know, admitting that I'm wrong is so great. You know, I always thought there was anthropogenic climate change for years. I was on board, and I talked about how, you know, they're wrong. The best way to reduce your carbon footprint is to move to a plant-based diet. And, you know, then I realized that whole thing is not what's really going on. So, deforestation.
Well, can I bring something up?
Sure. Who is this? Is this Susan?
Will?
Wait.
I'm trying
to figure out who.
The thing that I say to people, it's Andy.
Oh, Andy. Oh, okay.
It's
yeah.
Andy. Can you hear?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So one thing that I say to people, oh, okay.
It's not working.
One thing that I say to people who believe anybody, what? Can you hear me now?
It's better. Yeah, it didn't work for a while.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I think it might be my charger cord. So one thing that I say to people regarding the whole climate change thing and why we have to be reducing our resources, that's what they tell us. All of the people who tell us we need to be reducing our resources are not reducing theirs. They're still flying on private jets everywhere. They've still got their many, many humongous homes and using their electric, and they're the ones telling us, you know,
exactly.
We can't, but
exactly.
They can. So, you know, it's like anything, you know, we can say to try to wake people up to, you know, if it's on board, like the White House. I mean, if that's not a perfect example of, you know, using utilities and in that humongous mansion, and then all of the other people that live like that are making these orders, and your phrase that you have talked about, you don't like to follow orders, that's why you do things. I have used that over and over again now. It's great. It's absolutely wonderful.
Right.
Anyway, that's all.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, following orders that are not in our best interest. That's what we have to question. Absolutely. Yeah, great. Well, listen, so I'm Tammy, I don't see you right now, but I hope that was helpful to you in your question about your situation there. I wanted to say a couple of words. We're just about out of time now. We'd like to end by 6:30 Pacific time, so I know it's getting late on the East Coast. It's already 9:30, almost 9:30. So just please have a look through the resources. We have an interview that I did with Tammy Hay, A Deeper Look at Food. It's on the Her Million Vegan Grandmothers podcast. Also, an interview I just did with Marlene Narrow. She's also a World Peace Diet Facilitator. Her Vegan Nation radio show in Worcester, Massachusetts. It also has, really, it's very interesting, actually. We get into quite a few things. She asks some really good questions. It also has Madeline's recipe for making oat milk. It's on there as the audio. And there's also another video that I did for the Real Truth About Health conference on dairy, the violence in dairy, which I think is always good to be aware of. And we have a new Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen video up called it's called Spring Cleaning with Fresh Greens, Making a Spring Smoothie. And then there's some other animal related news that I think is really important. Some of it's pretty important. The Supreme Court just upheld Proposition 12 in California. That's something that's kind of interesting. There's a shortage of monkeys due to all this slaughter of monkeys for pharmaceutical research with COVID. I mean, it's so many things that are, and all these animals dying suddenly in zoos. That's another whole thing. They're getting vaccinated in the zoo. They're vaccinating animals in zoos and killing them. I mean, it's incredible. And then there's a lot of information here on the whole medical tyranny, things that are happening. This one, I have an asterisk next to it. Mistakes were not made. It's just a short 4-minute video. It's really good. There's some really good stuff. This guy also, Pascal Najati of Switzerland, he is suing not only he's suing the government of Switzerland for the use of the vaccines that were so harmful, and also he's working with a woman in New York City doing the same thing in this Supreme Court of New York state. So there's some major things happening, some good news on that front, and lots of information. I know it's probably more than we can. There's just so much coming out, but anyway, it's just really fantastic to see all this information coming out and people making positive changes and making efforts. The censorship, this other one with an asterisk, the censorship industrial complex, that's really, 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 really important and really interesting. That article goes into the vast number of incredibly well-funded corporations and academic institutions that are censoring all conversations that are happening in the world. I mean, the censorship industrial complex, it is way beyond what I ever imagined in my wildest dreams. I thought, oh yeah, there's a few fact checkers, there's the Google and Facebook, they're kind of censoring us. I mean, it's huge. It's been going on for decades, and it's really ramped up, and it's massive. I mean, just reading that article, you'll see how sophisticated the technology has become to not allow us to speak our minds. I mean, it's great that here we are, right here, we can do it, right here, like 10 people or whatever it is, 15 people, we can talk, we're not being censored right now. I mean, that's like fantastic. But there are really huge billions of dollars of money that is doing everything it can to not allow this to happen, to not let us just speak our minds freely, to not allow us to disagree with the official narratives about anything, to just not let that happen. And that article kind of opens up the door to see it, and it's important to understand. And I think really, freedom of speech is the foundation of all freedoms, and that's the most important thing. That's why I was so really disappointed with so many people in the vegan movement who actually promoted censorship, censoring not only me, but a lot of vegans who are questioning the official narratives. Because it's funny, we say, good, go ahead and censor them. Yeah, we should. They're saying hate speech. They're saying bad things. Well, yeah, then it means you're going to be censored, right, in another month. They'll censor everybody. So we should never be in favor of censorship. We should all, I mean, obviously, we should, if someone says something I find terrible, they have a right to say it. I mean, that's important. Just because we don't agree. So, you have to protect freedom of speech. And remember the other thing, I guess, just to close here, is to remember the big picture. That, again, we're only on this earth for a few decades. What we are is infinite and eternal consciousness manifesting through this footprint. We're waving to each other, winking to each other, talking to each other. But this is one life of many, and don't get dragged down in our vibration by the nitty-gritty of everything happening here. To stay conscious of the truth that we are, and remember that in a snap of a finger, we are all going to be at the point where we leave this body and we go on to the next thing, and we're going to review our life, and we're going to, what we learned, what we did, how we contributed, how do we respond, what's going on here. Earth is a school, and it's a challenging school. It's a very challenging school. And we have to really pay attention and learn the lessons that we gave to ourselves before we were born. Only we know what those lessons are. So that's the point. And so we're here to to wake up, to heal, and to contribute to the healing in our own unique way. We each have that. We each have that unique mission that we have for this lifetime. No one else knows what that is. We don't even know what it is unless we meditate and do self-inquiry and connect with that. So I want to honor and thank all of you, because I know if you're part of this group, you're on the path of that self-inquiry and bringing forth the best quality of consciousness for the healing of our planet, for the healing of our relationship with each other, with animals, with the earth, and to find ways to encourage each other and to help each other. Because while we're on this earth, we're here to teach each other. Really, we learn from each other by the examples and by what we say and how we say it. So every day is an opportunity to get better, to learn, to improve, to make progress in our own path. And that's a great gift. It's an amazing gift. This Earth School is a hard school, but it's a really good one. I mean, tremendous possibilities here for us. So the more the challenges are, the better, really, in many ways. From the point of view of the soul, of the spirit, of the being, that's good. It's not a bad thing. The ego wants everything to be easy and comfortable, and everybody to like us and say that we're right about everything. We have to remember that's the ego. that's not us. That's just the mask. That's the mask. That's really in many ways the obstacle. So thank you all for taking on this incarnation during this time. And speaking your truth, you know, it's great. It's great to do that. And the more each one of us does it, the more we encourage other people to do the same thing. So Madeline, are you here? We're going to go ahead and have our closing prayer. We love you. We really appreciate you. And let's everybody unmute yourself if you're not already unmuted. And maybe put on your camera so we can see you if it's possible. That's fun. And we can say our prayer that we say every day at noon, right? Every day at noon. Here we go.
Yep.
Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. One more time with lots of feeling. Compassion circles the earth, all beings, everywhere. Yay, all right. Love you. Thanks again,
love
everyone.
Love you. Namaste, y'all.
Love you.
Love you, everyone.
Hopefully we can multiply the message.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
everyone. Bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Peace, all.
Bye.